The Fourth Century, paragraph 31-40. Number 31. I heard him often say that holiness and happiness were the same, and he quoted a mighty place of Scripture. All her ways are pleasantness, and her paths are peace. But he delighted in giving the reason of Scripture, and therefore said that holiness and wisdom in effect were one, for no man could be wise that knew excellent things without doing them. Now to do them is holiness, and to do them wisdom. No man therefore can be further miserable than he severs from the ways of holiness and wisdom. Number 32. If he might have had but one request of God Almighty, it should have been above all other that he might be a blessing to mankind. That was his daily prayer above all his petitions. He wisely knew that it included all petitions. For he that is a blessing to mankind must be blessed, that he may be so, and must inherit all their affections, and in that their treasures. He could not help it, but he so desired to love them, and to be a joy unto them, that he protested often that he could never enjoy himself. But as he was enjoyed of others, and that above all delight in all worlds, he desired to be a joy and blessing to others. Though for this he was not to be commended, for he did but write to God and nature, who had implanted in all that inclination. Number 33. The desire of riches was removed from him pretty early. He often protested, if he had a palace of gold and a paradise of delights, besides that he enjoyed, he could not understand a farthing worth of benefit that he should receive thereby, unless in giving it away. But for others he sometimes could desire riches, till at last, perceiving the root of covetousness in him, and that it would grow as long as it was shrouded under that mold, he rooted it quite up with this principle. Sometimes it may so happen that to condemn the world in the whole lump was as acceptable to God as first to get it with solicitude and care, and then to retail it out in particular charities. Number 34. After this he could say with Luther that covetousness could never fasten the least hold upon him, and concerning his friends, even to the very desire of seeing them rich, he could say, as Phocion, the poor Athenian, did of his children, either they will be like me or not. If they are like me, they will not need riches. If they are not, they will be but needless and hurtful superfluities. Number 35. He desired no other riches for his friends but those which cannot be abused, to wit, the true treasures, God and heaven and earth and angels and men, etc., with the riches of wisdom and grace to enjoy them. And it was his principle that all the treasures in the whole world would not make a miser happy. A miser is not only a covetous man but a fool. Any needy man that wants the world is miserable. He wanteth God and all things. Number 36. He thought also that no poverty could befall him that enjoyed paradise, for when all the things are gone which man can give, a man is still as rich as Adam was in Eden, who was naked there. A naked man is the richest creature in all worlds, and can never be happy till he sees the riches of his very nakedness. He is very poor in knowledge that thinks Adam poor in Eden. See here how one principle helps another. All our disadvantages, contracted by the fall, are made up and recompensed by the love of God. Number 37. 'Tis not change of place, but glorious principles well practiced that establish heaven in the life and soul. An angel will be happy anywhere, and a devil miserable, but the principles of the one are always good and the other bad. From the center to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, all is heaven before God, and full of treasure, and he that walks like God in the midst of them, blessed. Number 38. Love God, angels, and man, triumph in God's works, delight in God's laws, take pleasure in God's ways in all ages, correct sins, bring good out of evil, subdue your lusts, order your senses, conquer the customs and opinions of men, and render good for evil, you are in heaven everywhere. Above the stars, earthly things will be celestial joys, and here beneath will things delight you that are above the heavens, all things being infinitely beautiful in their places, and wholly yours in all their places. Your riches will be as infinite in value and excellency as they are in beauty and glory, and that is, as they are in extent. Number 39. Thus he was possessor of the whole world, and held it his treasure, not only as the gift of God, but as the theater of virtues, esteeming it principally his because it upheld and ministered to many objects of his love and goodness, towards whom, before whom, among whom, he might do the work of fidelity and wisdom, exercise his courage and prudence, show his temperance, and bring forth the fruits of faith and repentance. For all those are the objects of our joy that are the objects of our care. They are our true treasures about whom we are wisely employed. Number 40. He had one maxim of notable concernment, and that was that God, having reserved all other things in his own disposal, had left his heart to him. Those things that were in God's care he would commit to God. Those things that were committed to his he would take care about. He said, therefore, that he had but one thing to do, and that was to order and keep his heart, which alone, being well guided, would order all other things blessedly and successfully. The things about him were innumerable and out of his power, but they were in God's power. And if he pleased God in that which was committed to him, God would be sure to please him in all things without, committed unto God, for he was faithful that had promised. In all that belonged unto him, God was perfect. All the danger being lest we should be imperfect in ours, and unfaithful in those things that pertain unto us.